Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Just a quick disclaimer about the audio in this one. We had some issues, so we had to go with the Skype audio for Dan and Braden. But it's good Skype audio, not like Douglas's Skype audio from a few case files ago. So don't worry, it's listenable. It's just going to sound a little different than normal. But that's it. Other than that, just a regular old case file. See you on the other side.
In 1976, NASA was more than happy to release photos sent back by their pioneering Viking 1 space probe. Among those photos, there was a mysterious image that would set the UFO community's collective imagination to focus on our rocky red neighbor. Of the 40 missions sent to Mars, only 18 have been deemed successful. Although that success rate seems impressive when weighed against the many challenges of landing and surviving on the Martian planet surface. Dust storms that can last for months and cover huge areas of the planet, a barely there atmosphere, and the planet lacks the protection granted by an intrinsic global magnetic field. For those reasons alone, scientists have been hesitant to consider Mars a suitable place for a human space settlement. But there are claims that shadowy space programs have been sending people there for years. Claims that the planet was previously populated, and that perhaps those Martian inhabitants have even been living among us to save us from the same events that doomed their once thriving planet. This case file joined the theorists as they and explore the Mars mysteries.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 125, Mars Mysteries.
Oh, I'm Bert. I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
Big Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Now with 20% more Dan.
Yeah, just Dan's eye, all seeing eye of Dan.
I don't know. What happened there? I don't know. Well, that's just Skype likes to sometimes change the size of people's videos for no reason. On the fly.
If you listen to this pod, we also live stream every Monday at 7:30.
Except for
unless
today.
We do it on Sunday.
Oh shit! I thought today was Monday.
So you got to follow us on social media to find out when we're live streaming. Most of the time, it's Mondays. But me and Andrew,
we sold out for some Canucks tickets.
Yeah, got some Canucks tickets. So we're going to the game tomorrow. So we couldn't record. So we're doing it early.
That's right. You heard it here first. We're taking bribes for case files. So if you have any ideas, send those ticks.
Yeah. Oh, great.
All right.
Mars. Everyone's favorite planet, is it?
I mean, except the one that we're on.
Except, well, people treat this one like they don't give a fuck, so.
Yeah.
Mars it is.
Well, if we keep going, this planet's going to look like Mars.
True.
Could Mars happen. Or Venus. Some people think Venus looked like Earth. It was more Earth-like than Mars was ever was.
Then it got runaway greenhouse effect, and now you got a hellhole.
Yeah, there's only one actual. I think there's only one actual photo from the surface of Venus. But we're not here to talk about Venus.
Yeah. Mars.
Mars.
Mars mysteries. A lot going on the red planet. We're obviously headed there with SpaceX and stuff, we're going to set up colonies. But what if they're already there?
Or what if they're already here?
Ooh. Came from there to here? A lot of cool theories about Mars.
Like, there's a lot of... Mars has always been... Yeah, because it's one of, you know, it's one of our closest neighbors. It's about the same size as Earth, somewhat. I think it's a little bit lesser in density. Gravity is a little less. But it's always been up there, following us around.
They think it's got a solid core, and it's not quite... It's more like a potato shape, and it doesn't have a really good atmosphere or a magnetic field, which makes it difficult. There's a lot of Mars. Hey, Mars got problems.
Mars got his own problems.
Mars got problems.
Yeah, so do we.
Andrew, I thought you were gonna give an intro for this one. You were talking about how much you studied up for Mars.
Mars, yeah. Well, you guys know I'm the go-to space guy.
Yeah.
So here, this is what I know about Mars. When you go to Mars, or no, boys go to Mars because they get more chocolate bars. Girls go to Jupiter because they get more stupider. That's about my knowledge of space right there. Learned that shit in grade 2.
Attaboy, Ricky.
You like that? That's it.
Excellent.
If there was a Pacino movie about Mars, then maybe I could help you out with it, but I don't know.
Scarface in Pacino. Space?
Scarface in Space? Okay, do you want to go to Mars, man? I'll take you to Mars.
Scarface is loud.
Okay.
Ooh-ah. So where are we starting with Mars mysteries?
I think we probably want to start with, there's a story that came out a while ago about, like I said, maybe the Martians are already here on Earth. And there was one report of a boy named Boriska Kiprianovich.
Little Boris.
Russian from boy Russia, from Mars.
Right, from Volgograd, Russia. And it came out a while ago that this child, he's now 21. Like when the story came out, I think he was how old is he?
He was 11 when the story came out. The story came out in 2006.
Right. His mother said from an early age, like, Boris seemed, you know, different. She said that she knew that something was special about him when he was able to hold his head up at very young, after what, he was like minutes old or something like that?
15 days. She said after 15 days, he was holding his head up, no problem.
I'm not an expert on early child development. Is that a big thing?
It's pretty impressive to be able to hold your head, like completely hold your head up. And from what I understand, she's saying like he could hold his head up while he was on his stomach, which for a 15-day-old is like remarkable.
A little superhuman.
You don't develop those neck muscles for, you know what I mean, at least a couple months.
He's my special boy.
So being able to hold your head up apparently is the hallmark of a child who is a reincarnated Martian. At least that's the story that Boriska came up with. Well,
there was a little bit more to it though, right, Dan? Like she was saying like as 6 months, little Boris was able to like fucking speak. He was able to read the headlines on newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At 1 year old. So 1 year old, he's able to read. And then as soon as he's able to read, he starts, you know what I mean, spouting off about all this bizarre knowledge of space that just did not make any sense.
Right. The mom admitted that they had never taught him anything about space. I mean, he was, you know, a young kid. He's not like see him. He had an interest in space, but it's not like they kind of, you know, super encouraged it, or whether they're not astronomers or astrophysicists or his parents.
His mom was a doctor. They didn't say his mom was a doctor. They didn't say of what, but she was a learned person.
Right. So it's kind of strange, but he was coming up with very detailed stories about what life was like when he apparently lived on Mars and his Mars body.
His past Mars life.
Right. In his past Mars life, he said that he was a member of a population of Martians that lived like on the surface of Mars. And what had happened is they actually ended up being wiped out in an interplanetary war, or most of them anyways.
A nuclear war or something, right? That's what they claim.
Mm-hmm. Those who survived, he said there are survivors, and there were survivors, or at least there might be actually to this day, there are survivors who moved underground. And that's why we haven't discovered any existence of them yet. It's because they're living in these underground bunkers below the surface of Mars. Because, I mean, we already know that the surface of Mars is almost wholly inhospitable. Like, you, if you, I mean, most scientists have said, like, if we want to be able to find a sustainable living condition on Mars, you're either going to have to go underground or you're going to have to build structures out of like Mars rock. Like, right. That's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah. On the surface, you are getting blasted with radiation. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Just little cancer trolls walking around.
Now, could that have been from the nuclear war, though?
No, I mean, you're getting, well, from the nuclear war, I mean, potentially it could have wiped out their atmosphere. That could have been a reason that there's no atmosphere on Mars. But because there's no atmosphere, you're getting just, yeah, like Brayden said, you're getting blasted with every type of radiation that's just flying through space.
It's so not so much the atmosphere, it's that the lack of magnetic shield. So like, because on Earth we have like the magnetic shield, and that deflects most like the solar wind and shit away, and that's why we get like auroras and all that. But on Mars, as far as we know, there is no auroras.
Mm-mm. You're taking space raw,
straight to the skin.
Straight space.
It is warm though around the equator. They say it's about 80 degrees Fahrenheit during the day.
What is that in real temperature?
I don't know. What's that? 23 degrees.
Oh, that's not bad.
Normal world temperature.
Oh, yeah, so I could deal with that.
He ended up going into a little bit more detail, too, because he explained, like, the people who would live there, they are over 2 meters tall. They stop aging at 35. They only breathe carbon dioxide.
I read that. They stop aging at age 35. Is that, like, that they do that on purpose? Like, they have scientific advancement to stop aging? Or is, like, they're, like, 35, and now you live forever? Like
that's where you stop.
That's it.
I don't know if it's a biological or a technological advancement. I mean, some of these things, it's like, yeah, you ask questions about this, and it's really, I mean, you'd have to talk to Boris.
Well, which is, you can't find him now. He's disappeared.
We can't get him on the show?
No, he's disappeared.
He's gone?
Yeah.
They got rid of him. He spilled the beans.
Went back to Mars.
You want to go to Mars?
Okay.
Going into the 2 meters tall, that makes sense, though, because Mars only has, what, 30% of our gravity?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so, like, well, maybe I should go to space.
Going
then.
To space, they have to make their suits a little bit bigger to account for them growing in space. Their spine just elongating. Oh,
send me to space.
Around space.
Send me to
so
space.
So I can imagine, like, someone growing, like, growing up on Mars, there wouldn't be that gravitational restriction.
You know how good that would feel on your back? Just instant traction. Like, herniated discs just... Hop right back. Oh, God.
Probably comes, joints are like butter.
Probably comes with a host of other negative side effects, though.
Yeah. One you can can't dream. Poop.
Yeah.
You can't poop ever.
You can't poop.
Is that what astronauts on the space station say? It's hard to poop?
I think it's harder to poop.
I would imagine so.
Probably. You got to really force it.
Yeah.
They don't have squatty potties?
Let me tell you. You know what? Everyone knows that no matter... Like, if you got a really bad case of diarrhea, it doesn't matter what G's you're in. That baby's blasting out.
Well, you would know after going half Hortons against a building in Pasadena.
And now you got
fucking expert over
dude,
here.
And then you got no gravity. And now you have, like, an explosive shit. You're never cleaning that up.
Oh. One wipe.
You have to wear, they wear, like, astronauts wear, like, absorbent underwear.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's, like, people don't think about that, but they, like, they just wear, like, adult diapers, essentially, and just shit themselves.
Yeah, I've heard,
what?
Yeah, well, not shit themselves, I don't think, but just in case, like, you fart and a little comes out, it doesn't start floating around the fucking space station. Or if you have,
to legitimately use the bathroom, I'm pretty sure, like, their toilets are mostly, like, a system of tubes.
Oh, yeah, like, sorry. If you're in a spacesuit, you wear fucking absorbent underwear and, like, adult diapers, and you just... shit and piss yourself.
Well, what else are you going to do?
In space. Yeah.
Okay, now back to this Boriska. One thing I read that I thought was quite interesting is he claims that behind the Sphinx's ear in Giza is, like, something, well, you can unlock it and it will change life on Earth.
Yes, that is something that he said. And then it was reported that 10 years after this claim, they did a deep sensory scan of the Sphinx, and it revealed that there actually was something behind the ear.
Well, you can see there's like a little carving of a square behind his ear, but like I'm confused by that because like it's not like the Sphinx was built; it was carved. Like there's no space to have anything in there.
Like you hear about you hear about like the secrets under the paw of the Sphinx, like
which they just fucking flooded that entire area, right, to reduce the water table. So I don't know, like if there was anything under there, you think they would flood it? That doesn't make sense.
Well, all of Giza is like honeycombed with like it's called the Giza Underground.
But see, those tunnels are mostly they theorize that those tunnels were mostly made by like grave robbers. They weren't tunnels designed for the actual fucking Sphinx itself.
Or grave robbers to get to the treasures underneath the Sphinx.
Well, that's it. It
might be in some, all this shit could be in some private collector's, you know, mansion vault in like Nick Cage. Belgium Nick Cage's mansion somewhere that he bought at some shady auction where he blows all his money. And that's why he has to do all these terrible movies.
If that was the case, you know, damn right, Harrison Ford would have showed up, punched him in the face and said, "This belongs in a museum."
Okay, here's the carving on the behind the ear.
Yeah.
Does it look like, what does it look like? Looks like it's under the Sphinx's right ear. There looks like it looks actually pretty big because it's, you know, it's quarter of the size of the ear, and the Sphinx is how tall?
But here's the thing, like, you think this is the first time that was seen though? You know what I mean?
No,
like,
yeah.
they've had pictures of the Sphinx for I don't know how long. It
kind of looks like someone went up there and tried to chisel into the Sphinx.
Or like maybe hooked up some type of like suspension equipment to it. You know what I mean?
It could have always been part of the thing because they always say that the human face wasn't always the original face.
It was a lion, right?
Or it could have been a lion, jackal, yeah. Could have been a couple things. But they're not sure that the human face was ever the original form of the Sphinx.
No, I agree with that.
Old Bariska, apparently, you know, he said he's not the only child from space. He says there are others like him who were sent here on a specific mission to save humanity. And his overall Bariska's message to us humans seems to be one of peaceful and to be like, don't end up like us. Don't destroy yourselves. You know, he kind of expressed concern about the escalating tensions between the U.S. and Korea and their nuclear woes, things like that. So,
well, he's not doing a good job because the fucking threat level just went to from 2 minutes to midnight to
threat level midnight.
20 seconds to midnight?
Wait,
or no, 90 seconds to midnight?
Who's the person?
It's 2 minutes to midnight is Iron Maiden.
Yeah. There you go.
Who's in charge of setting this midnight clock here? How do we get to 20? What's
Doomsday clock?
Doc
Manhattan does it.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I mean. Like who they get together like, all right, we're only 20 seconds till end of the world now.
Haven't you seen Watchmen? You got Nixon sitting there with the fucking Doomsday clock and they move it.
That's what I mean. Who is that? Is that a? It's still. It's as a. It's
also
just,
Nixon's also dead.
Nixon's head.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know, but he's like this. Boris.
Wait a sec. Are we talking about threat level midnight, like the Michael Scott film?
I think I just said that by mistake.
Oh, okay. That's a fucking thing.
The Doomsday Clock. I didn't mean threat level midnight.
Threat level midnight.
Another excellent movie.
Fuck yeah! Fucking Golden Face. He's all behind this shit. I knew it.
Well, that that guy, it's an interest. He seemed like a pretty smart kid.
Right. I mean, he had a sick mullet. So, I mean, if you look him up, I mean, that's
here's the thing. Good mullet. It's kind of a cool story. It's a neat idea, but like things that I don't really understand, like you've got this like extremely remarkable kid, supposedly, that was born in 1996. Yet there's no evidence of this kid being able to fucking walk at 6 months and talk and you know what I mean? Like if your kid was doing that kind of shit at his age, it would be well known. You know what I mean? Like
this is Russia.
Doesn't matter.
That's a weird stuff happens in Russia.
No, yeah. Russian kids like fight fucking bears and shit.
This isn't Red Sun. Okay. He didn't come down here.
Not Superman.
You know what I mean? Like it just doesn't make sense. And then like it sounds like a really interesting science fiction story. You know what I mean? But it sounds like a really, you know what I mean, remarkably smart child with a really good imagination.
Yeah. If he were truly as, you know, advanced as he says, I'm surprised, like, if he's 21 now, like, I don't know if he's got a doctorate or, you know, I would think that he would be some kind of world renowned physicist at this point.
Have a double degree by now.
But well, you're going to have to use he's just kind of disappeared at this point. I haven't heard anything really about him.
Dr. Manhattan's phone and call up to Mars, see if you can talk to him.
Hey, maybe this kid was on to something. Maybe, because we've talked about the secret space program and they don't want the space program.
You got your teeth in there, Zell? You sound a little lispy, bud.
I got pretty stoned just before. If you're playing the ATT drinking game, I think you finish a drink. what was I saying? Oh, someone got to him. He's onto the truth. He's onto the secret space program. Solar warden. All that shit.
Maybe he's a consultant. Maybe they brought him on. They'd be like, you know the most about Mars. Tell us everything so we can get people there.
Him and Elon are just in the boardroom making plans.
Chilling out.
Putting together a team, Elon. You in?
You son of a bitch.
It's always interesting
to
me when these kids come forward with this kind of weird information. Like, oh, you know, you hear ones of like, you always hear the stories of like the reincarnated kid who remembers dying or whatever. And that's like all that stuff. It's still like, you know, we've talked about it all the time, but like that, like the veil's thin with kids, man. They're fucked up. They're weird. Like, they can reach into some weird places. And especially if maybe this kid had like some autism or something as well. Like, well, I think definitely
you might've been on the spectrum. There's a good chance.
Chances there.
So it is really interesting to watch this. The interviews might be boring, though. Yeah. it's a little painful, anyways. But interesting kid.
I mean, I'm taking the translator's word for it because it could just be some kid in there speaking Russian and talking about something completely else. And the guy's like, yeah, he's talking about fucking Mars.
That's
man.
True.
That's exactly that's what he's talking about.
Well, we got a lot of mysteries about Mars. So let's wrap up Bariska. If you don't know his story, look it up. It's interesting, if nothing else.
Where else are we moving to on Mars? What's the next Mars mystery?
We have to move to Mars's tiny little space potato, Phobos. One of the two orbiting bodies of Mars. And Phobos, like, okay, everybody knows, like, yeah, they got Phobos and Deimos. It's got the two moons, right? But looking into this, I never knew Phobos. It's fucking weird.
It's a weird little rock.
It's pretty much admitted by all astronomers who've studied Mars and the different planetary bodies that Phobos and Deimos, like the moons of Mars, don't make a lot of sense. There's a lot of weird shit about them that has them puzzled. Like they're not 100% sure where they came from. They don't fit the normal models for orbiting bodies, like the way that like all the other moons in the most of the moons work. Like at first they kind of thought, well, okay, they don't look like they formed because the way that they look is like, it doesn't look like it was formed as what they think our moon was at first. It was like something smashed into the, you know, early forming Earth, you know, spun out and then get caught. And like, you know, in the, what's it called? That disc.
The disc?
Yeah, what's it called? You know, we can't remember what it's called.
Did you get stone too, Dan?
Dan's baked as hell.
He's got a contact high all the way from Kelowna.
There's like the, what's it called? The disc that, you know, when you have a forming planet and then the outside, like Saturn, like its rings, like they're part of like a, there's like a it's like an accretion disc or something. It's I can't remember. Anyways.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. A Dan disc.
Anyways.
Frisbee.
Space Frisbee.
Disc golf.
There you go.
And now we're on board.
Yeah.
I get it.
Gotcha.
It's an extremely weird thing. And it gets even weirder because they did take, when they have taken photos of Phobos, there is this strange thing that they call the Phobos monolith. Oh, and it is this, It looks to be, scientists think it's a boulder. It's a large boulder, but it appears to be about 85 meters to two, like, which is like 279 feet across. And it looks like regularly cut. If you look at pictures of it, it looks real weird. Just something sticking out of Phobos that doesn't look like it. Like, it obviously doesn't look like it belongs there.
No, it doesn't. And, it doesn't look natural.
Right.
Is there anything weird on Davos?
Sharp cut, like, facets, or it seems to have anyways. It doesn't match any of the surrounding terrain at all.
Yeah, it's like, it's not a great picture of it, but you can kind of see, if you're watching live stream, you can kind of see this.
Oh,
little,
weird.
It looks like a tombstone kind of.
Yeah, it's like a huge tombstone is what it looks like.
And it casts like a wicked shadow. There's nothing else on the surface of that moon that casts a shadow like that.
Yeah.
It looks like a tower or something.
It looks like Rosetta Stone.
Guys, it's because fucking this moon, because it doesn't fit other theories about how moons are formed. It's a alien spaceship.
Could be. Isaac Asimov for sure actually wrote a story about Phobos being an abandoned alien ship from the past that got just caught in the gravity of Mars. So it's not, you know, out, you know, beyond the imagination that it was something like that. Where people, you know, there's always like the spaceship moon, like everybody thinks the moon is a spaceship.
Really?
You know, our moon.
Our moon would be a huge motherfucking spaceship.
Are you saying that Phobos itself is a spaceship, or the monolith on Phobos is a spaceship?
The whole thing.
Really?
The monolith is the antenna.
Antennas, eh?
Antenna.
Got them antennas.
Sticking out the top.
It is weird, though. It's nothing. No other object on that moon has like the angles.
When was that monolith discovered? Do we know?
That was discovered by the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And they fired that one off a while ago. It's been around.
We're talking 10 years, 20 years, 15.
I think we.
What was the first one? It wasn't. What was the first
78
orbiter
or something?
Oh, so we've known about
the first photos of Mars. And then the second one was like 2002 or 98, and then 2002, I think. I'm just saying dates. I don't know for
just
sure.
Throwing
but I think
out random
about,
dates.
Yeah,
just, 1995. Just 1996. 2004.
The very first orbiter was in 71, and that was by Soviet Union.
So, and that's who found it first, or
no,
do we know?
Because no,
all I'm thinking is maybe little Boris hopped in his little spaceship, tried to get back, and landed on fucking Phobos instead of Mars. Maybe that's what happened.
Let's see. Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter was 2005, launched in 2005.
That was not that long ago.
Okay. Not that long ago.
Huh.
So I remember it popping up in the news, and like I remember Buzz Aldrin saying something about it in at least one interview. Even though Buzz Aldrin, like, yeah, great dude, you know, he's been to the fucking moon, and
has he?
But sometimes when he on some interviews,
he's crazy. He's trying to sell books.
He's crazy now, crazier for
but
sure.
Slanging books.
I know. He's been quoted like talking about that, and he's like, it's like they don't know who put it there, who possibly put it there. And he kind of says, oh, well, God put it there, but I mean,
He goes, I'll leave that up to you to decide, basically,
right?
So, when they figure out who put that there,
It could be just about anything. So what the scientists hypothesize, what they theorize, is that it's actually like a chunk of the inner core of Phobos actually showing, which is actually kind of cool in itself, because they figure that if they were able to land on that moon and take a look at that, they could actually tell where Phobos came from. It would give a huge insight into where the origins of Phobos itself, because no one's really 100% sure. There was at least a couple studies that were done in 2016 that international teams of scientists kind of got together to try to figure out the mystery of Phobos. And at least one model was saying that they figured that Phobos and Deimos were created when there was a collision between Mars and another another primordial body. So like another protoplanet.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go off and, you know, I know like somebody who's either watching the stream or it's going to listen, it's going to be like Nibiru, Planet X.
Maybe.
Who knows? But smashed into Mars or early Fermi Mars about 100 to 800 million years after the planet actually formed, and that these that impact created these like one large moon, like maybe Mars at some point had a larger moon, and then it actually that moon encouraged the formation of the other two, but then that larger moon ended up colliding back with Mars and then smashing into the surface, and then, you know, and then those two just kind of hung out there.
That's like quite the theory.
Right. But they are, I mean, they've looked at Deimos and Phobos, and they do say that they are in decaying orbits.
So they like, they're eventually going to
smash back into Mars.
You know, that's like, I like that theory kind of because I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure, I can't remember if it's the north or the south, but one of the hemispheres of Mars is like all mountainous, and the other hemisphere is like a giant plateau that's like 2 kilometers higher than the other side. And so it is hypothesized that a planet did hit it, and that like the impact actually pushed the crust up on the opposite side of the planet.
Cool.
So kind of fits with that because it is Mars is weird. Like half of Mars is like a rocky tundra and the other half is like a high Arctic plateau.
Look, are you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Yeah, it's really strange. It's a strange deal. Geologically, I mean, Mars is fucking weird. All about that stuff. Now we get into more kind of out there stuff. If people don't know, Nikola Tesla was one of the first scientists to kind of take an interest in Mars, and kind of he was known a while back, like at one point in his life when he was studying like radio waves. He was using a thing called the magnifying transmitter at his lab in Colorado Springs in 1899. And he claimed that he detected what he perceived as coherent signals that he determined had originated from the direction of Mars. Right. So, I mean, what he said was he heard something. So it was kind of like, I think he said he heard like three tones, actually. I think he just heard kind of three, you know, something, you know, probably that, or just like, you know, like a, they had like a, it's called like a Morse signal thing.
Dude, after working with audio equipment now with the podcast, I don't trust any audio equipment ever. Anything. So like when people are like, oh, Tesla got three fucking tones. I was like, yeah, it's probably some interference because one of his fucking lines was crisscrossed or something for a second.
I mean, I remember back then, like even before Tesla, like one of the earlier like theories about Mars. And I remember this back when I was a kid, which kind of got me interested in the whole, you know, pseudo astronomy, whatever you want to call it. But like, you know, that there are Martians was the canals on Mars. That was a discovery that was made by a guy named Giovanni Schiaparelli. In like 1877, and it was back when, you know, they didn't have really great telescopes, but when he was looking at Mars, he said that he identified like what looked to be canals, like long, like very long trenches in Mars, which, I mean, now we have better telescopes, so we could tell like, no, those are naturally forming anyways. But, you know, that kind of set off our interest in Mars, that maybe there was something there. Maybe there's more than just, you know, red rock.
Right.
Yeah. Well, tell that to Randy Kramer, because according to him, those are dug out by the insectoids.
Okay. Oh, shit. Yes. Randy Kramer, this is the secret space program guy.
Yeah. So Randy Kramer, he claims that he used to get in the middle of the night when he was a 4-year-old boy, he'd be asleep and Space Marines. I guess they're part of Space Force. The
Space
Mars
Marines.
Mars Defense Force.
Casinos.
They would teleport through his door or his wall, and they would wake up, Randy. Time to go.
Hey, Randy. Randy. Your country needs you, buddy.
And they'd escort him through the teleport, and he'd teleport to a moon base. And they'd train him on with toys and tests and puzzles.
As a child?
All this. As a child, from 4 till he was in his late teens.
So here's my question. Is he alone? Or is this like a Mickey Mouse club full of like child space soldiers?
Mickey Mouse club full of other people being trained. So
it's Mr. Kramer. They're getting fucking baby Rico. You know what I mean? Cassar Van Dien.
Yeah, baby Rico.
They're getting them all.
Baby Rico.
Yeah.
Now, when he would go for weeks at a time. But when they would bring him back, they would time travel 15 minutes after they took him. So on Earth, in his bed, he only missed 15 minutes of time. Now, he says he was genetically engineered for this program. So it was like out of his control, out of his parents' control. He doesn't really get into why or how. He just says he was genetically engineered for this program. Now, in his late teens, he said, you know, just like normal, they came and they picked him up. And they took him to the lunar base. It had a really cool name too. I can't remember what it was called. But then from there, they shuttled him to Mars. And for the next 17 years, he lived on Mars. And he claims you can breathe on Mars. NASA's full of shit. You can breathe on Mars.
You wait, and you don't get
you, NASA.
You don't get baked by the sun.
Kramer. God damn
he
it.
He said never. His quote is, he said, NASA lies about that. Never a straight answer. So then for the next 17 years, he was posted on a forward operating base called Forward Operating Zebra.
Nice.
Right on.
It's good.
It was in the north. And he was in charge of a territory. And Mars is fully colonized. He was never allowed to go to the colonies. And there's two other indigenous intelligent species on Mars, and that's the insectoids and the reptoids.
Oh shit.
He was sent to Ares Prime. That was the area.
Oh shit.
Oh, that's
Ares Prime.
Wow, man. Randy Bobandy, Space Ranger.
So it's great because in the interview I watched with them, they're like, okay, so what did you do? And he's like, well, I trained, you know, I ate, I pooped, I slept and I fought.
Low G.
They're like, all right, can you describe some more? He's like, we fought a lot. And then he goes to talk about that, like they would basically get in these big gun battles with the insectoids or reptoids, and all three aren't friends. So the insectoids and the reptoids aren't friends. And the humans aren't friends with either of them. So he's like, it was always kind of a chess match between the three groups. And they had futuristic weapons. Projectiles using electromagnets at ridiculous speed. And at the end of the 17 years, his final mission before he was put on pilot duty, they were sent into this ancient cave, and the insectoids ambushed them, and a lot of the space Mars Marines got killed. And then for the next 2 years, they put him on pilot duty, which was really cool for him because he'd always wanted to be a pilot as a kid.
And a pirate.
And a pirate for sure.
At the end of his service, they grew a clone to the same age when they first took him. They transferred his consciousness back into the clone, time traveled him back into his bed 15 minutes from the first time they
This is the great fucking story.
So why would you do that? Doesn't make any sense.
I want to know, Dan, what does Bo Bandy have here?
Thank you for your service, Randy.
No, like, what does Bo Bandy have here? Like, what are they buying in? Is this guy, like, he must be some badass motherfucker.
Well, he was given the code name Zen while he was battling on this planet also.
Listen,
doesn't sound very badass. Guy,
I don't know why they haven't picked him up for action movies, because, like, with his skills and, like, his action hero body.
He was probably a consultant. You know what? I'm pretty sure I saw his name of consultants on Starship Troopers.
I mean,
the Battle of Clendathu, like 100%, that's insectoids.
Well, I'm going to reiterate what Braden said, and thank you for your service.
Everybody needs to rewatch Starship Troopers.
Best movie ever. He also talks about the insectoids. He's like, they're like, oh, so like, was it bad? They send swarms and stuff. He goes, yeah, it was really annoying. He's like, the drones, which the main insectoids, would never fight themselves. They would make beetles, and then there'd be swarms of beetles that they'd fight.
Yeah, and then the brain bugs were controlling them. And then fucking Doogie Howser shows up and, you know, mind fucks the brain bugs. Like,
right? MPH, so man.
He says he went back and he lived a normal life. And he was having these dreams as a teenager, these like vivid PTSD dreams. And he thought he was crazy. He's like, I'm crazy. This is what's going on. And then it wasn't until then that he realized that he wasn't mind wiped. It was just before they sent him back, they used memory suppression, but it was all flooding back. So with the help of some, what is it where you go and get some
hypnotic
memory
regression?
Hypnotic regression. He's got it all back.
So he's good stuff.
So he wasn't able to bring anything back with him because he said they scanned. It's a very clean environment. Like, even if you put stuff inside you, they'd find it. They wouldn't let you take it.
They put Mars rocks up your butt.
Did stop him from trying. He crammed so many space rocks up his butt.
Yeah, he's like, they're like, no, not again. Poop it out.
He pooped. He did. He told us.
Yeah,
they got a new machine. It detects stuff way up your butt.
Way up your butt.
Even if it's way up there.
All the way up your colon. For
power seats.
Mega seats.
They're looking for those Mars mega seats getting taken off Mars. But he says then that he had actually still has two. Dog tag chips behind either ear that he's trying to get surgically removed as proof, but doctors won't do it for him.
Wait. So they grew
yourself, Bell.
Doctors won't perform some weird surgery on his head to get some weird thing out from behind his ears.
He's been regrowing. Yeah. So how does he have they regrew him and then put the chips that they're trying to get rid of back into his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Bo
Bandy. This is an awesome story.
So then it gets better. So then he, when asked if he has any, is there any kind of documentation or anything like that? He claims that there is a process, and like the government officials and stuff who run this program are around, and he's in the process of getting the disclosure that proves that he was in this program, but it takes between 2 to 15 years to get it. And he's on year 7. So he's hoping it comes sooner than later, but he could wait up to 15 years to get the documentation. Randy Kramer.
They gave him like a window. They're like, your request will be processed between 2 to 15 years.
Oh my God. My thing is, I'm like, hey, what?
He's like on hold. Like he's on hold on the phone and he's just got the phone off the hook and just like,
coming.
It's coming. Waiting. On the phone. Been waiting on hold 7 years. You're seven. Let's go.
Is he the only guy who claims this? Is he the only guy who claims this?
He says there's lots of them and like they've met and have meetings and people have different accounts and were stationed in different places. And lots of the people, he says all the good people that were in his squad and, you know, served in Mars really like what he's doing, but the not so good people don't like what he's doing. And that's how he knows he's doing the right thing.
Wait, so I've got so many questions. So if they're just growing people, how come they don't just grow people to fight on Mars?
Because you need the consciousness, Dan, of a child trained in puzzles.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what's so hard to grasp about this.
I want to know what we talk about starting a podcast network. My first show I want to produce is getting this guy and a few of his buddies to tell stories about the
war stories
about the fighting the insectoids and reptilians on Mars.
Yeah. He also claimed that there's indigenous insectoid species on Earth and a reptoid species on Earth, but they're deep under the ground.
Well, I could get on board with that easier.
So I mean, this guy probably hangs out with Corey Good, right? I mean, they probably hang out together.
Yeah, he claims his claims are that there's fully functioning colonies there now.
Yeah, they have colonies on Mars. They have a secret space program with like a space navy full of ships called like Solar Warden. And they've been
That's the one that Corey Good.
Yeah, that's Corey Good. That's Corey Good. That's so
maybe
Solar
they
Warden.
Fought, maybe they fought together. Served
or
together.
Against each other.
Yeah, he's protecting a different base.
Maybe they tip the scales.
They tip the scales by recruiting babies.
Well, the thing, I'm like, I try to, when I'm like listening to this guy talk, I'm like, okay, so you're saying that the government has the ability to time travel. Now, am I assuming that's only in the past? Like, so once they take you and train you and they can send you back, but that's it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, do you know what I mean?
No, it works like X-Men
in time.
Days of Future Past rules. Like, it can only send you back to your old body or whatever the fuck.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that stupid shit was.
Because then I was like, why wouldn't they, like...
He should have just left out the time travel part. Time travel fucks up any good story. Any good story. If it's got time travel in it, automatically ruined.
Okay. Now, like I said, that listening to him, and he talks with such confidence and just like... just it
most
could
crazy
be
people
like
do.
One of us telling that. So
okay, we got to do a dedicated case file on this guy and his battle with the insectoids. Yeah, man.
I wonder if we could get him on.
I bet. I'm open to believe anything if he can. Like if he comes on and he blows our minds, he's like, no,
I'll sit and listen to that story. I'm down with it.
As long as I don't have to sit next to him, I'm happy.
Well, you're not going to have to sit right next to him.
He doesn't give any details. Like when pressed on things. He's just like, oh, you know, another day, another dollar, just there, grinding away. You're like, you were there for 17 years, man.
Pooping.
He doesn't remember all of it. It's hypnotic regression. It's not 100% accurate. You know, you just get bits and pieces.
Anyways, we got
another Mars.
Let's move on with some more Mars, because that was an awesome story. But I'm sure we could riff on that
for a long time. That's a whole nother thing.
Let's talk about how some people think that Mars may have experienced a nuclear war, which ended the civilizations there.
Yeah, at least one person. The big guy who's on it is Dr. John Brandenburg, who's a physicist. And he believes that because they have detected, or he says they're detected, high concentrations of xenon that are typically associated with nuclear reactors and nuclear fission or the fallout from nuclear explosions. He says that they have detected that in certain parts of Mars. He, you know, theorizes that there was a nuclear war that wiped out the civilization on Mars, you know, when it was still, you know, I mean, there's tons of evidence adding up to show that at some point Mars was very different than how we see it today. There was water. There could have been possibly vegetation, and very likely could have been cities. If you think about it, the way that Mars looks now, is it's been a long time since it had water. And if you think about the kind of the way that civilizations, you know, evolve, we've only been around for like 200,000 years or something like that.
I think they've pushed it up now to like closer to 400 to keep finding teeth and shit. But yeah, not that long.
Right. But like, you know, even that 400,000 years is like nothing. When blink. You think about dinosaurs were on this planet for like 100 million years.
Dinosaurs aren't real.
Oh my God.
Dan, they cut them out of rocks, make bones, and make you believe there is these mythical beasts roaming the planet. It's not real. I've heard some very convincing arguments about this. Anyways.
Right.
And it's not even that it's just xenon. I think it's like there's a particular like isotope, like xenon 129 or something like that, that goes along with this. So that's what makes them even think more that it was some type of nuclear thing, because that's even more rare to have this certain isotope, I guess. So that's why this physicist is going down that trail.
Now, here's what pops into my head when we talk about this one. So if whatever, however long ago this nuclear holocaust happened on Mars, does that mean that some of that technology survived and that's how we got it? Or is becoming nuclear and nuclear weapons that much of a stepping stone in just the growth of a society? Like, that's just a natural step that people are going to get to as they go through science.
I think that is a step, a technological step you have to get through at some point. Like, in the way that technology advances, like, you need to eventually learn how to harness the power of, you know, of atomic bonds. I think that, just have to eventually hit that.
Like, the building blocks of matter, if you're going to be that advanced, you'd have to figure out, I think. Now, why does everyone got to start bombing each other when they figure this out? That's a whole nother thing, but.
Because what else are you going to do with it?
Now, say there was an intelligent civilization. They had some quarrels. The clock got right to midnight. The bombs went off. Now, if there's like organic beings on the surface, and there's no way to, like we talked about, stop like the solar radiation, like the space radiation hitting the planet, or was there something there before, and the bombing of the planet actually was what stripped away the ozone or whatever, like, was protecting the planet? Is there theories on that? Does this Brandenburg guy talk about it? He just talks about they detect these levels of xenon, therefore it probably bomb.
Well, he's talking about there's these high levels of thorium and potassium in the certain areas of the planet. I think the two areas that he said that the biggest culprits were the areas of Cydonia Mensa and Galaxius Chaos.
Those dope names.
And yeah, they are pretty awesome. And he's saying that those might have been like two centers of the civilization. Like, that's where it would have been. And at least one of them, you know, looks like where it would be. It's like on the edge of what used to be a Martian ocean. It could have been a coastal city, something like that. He's got a whole book about it, and he's written a couple of academic papers, but they're mostly just talk about, you know, the evidence that there was some sort of nuclear explosion. Doesn't talk about the details of the civilization itself.
Doesn't actually speculate on what he thinks could have been there. He just says, I see this, therefore it could have been this. And that's my hypothesis.
Yeah.
That is cool. Mm-hmm. That I've always liked that theory, is maybe like if we did evolve on Mars, let's say, bombed ourselves, some people got off, came to Earth, and we are not really evolved on Earth. We're not like from apes. We're just actually from Mars. Is that the theory?
Well, I mean, I've heard that, you know, we've even theorized about that, how we don't naturally, you know, fit in with Earth's environment. We're very destructive. I've read some people saying that, like, because we're from Mars, we used to deal with a lot less radiation because we're that much further from the sun. And now that's why the solar radiation here hurts us so bad compared to other things on Earth. Do I subscribe to that? Like, is that why I get sunburn? Is because I'm from Mars and I'm used to a little bit lower solar radiation? I don't know. I'm sure science probably has a thing or two to say about that.
Well, no, if we're going to go with human evolution, then people from Mars probably would have been like looked more African with dark skin. And then we would have, you know, because they think that like the start of civilization was in Africa. That's where we put it, right? Like, isn't it around Ethiopia or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is like, I mean, now we are literally like rewriting the books on human evolution about how many different types of species of hominids there were now and like in our family tree. So now it's even harder to kind of be like, well, we had people from Mars. I'm like, yeah, but we had people that were all kinds of different. We had Neanderthals. We had Homo floresiensis. We had, you know, everybody was fucking each other back then.
Martians. And we destroyed them.
They came over here and we fucked them too. We fucked Neanderthals. Yeah. We fucked Denisovans. We fucked everybody. So it's like Martians are down here. Come on in. Get on we down here.
Come on down.
Yeah, big old party.
Yeah, I don't. It's a cool theory, but
like we'll let you on. Martians in if you know the password and. Clue, the password is orgy.
So the Martians came to Earth, fucked all the other hominids, and we sprouted out of that.
Yeah, they just showed up and said, hey, we're here for the gangbang.
What's up? Here for the gangbang? That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how it went.
That checks out.
Yeah, all the new textbooks.
You'll see a couple academic papers coming out about that soon, I'm sure.
Dan, you're going to write your own, I think, right?
We're on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
What else we got from Mars Mysteries?
Dude, we got to get to the one that has been probably the most famous for a long time.
Classic.
The Viking 1 picture of the surface of Mars in the Cydonia region that looks like a face.
Yeah. Oh.
Or it did. It did look like a face and doesn't anymore.
Yes.
Well, we got better resolution cameras now, so I can tell that it's not a face.
Oh, in 76, we had some beer goggles.
Yeah.
You're looking at it like through a six pack there. Well, it's just, I think in 76, I mean, we just didn't have the resolution abilities that we do now. So in that grainy footage, you know, your imagination takes over. But I mean, those photos, like, I see it. It looks like a woman's head.
Yeah, it's like a giant mesa. And from above, it looks like a face. It does. The first picture did look like a face. So if you're back then, you took that, like you've seen that way back then, you're like, holy shit, that's a carved face on the top of this mesa. Put there by whoever lived on this planet. So people were looking down would know that there is intelligent life there.
The only issue, though, is like even then, I can't imagine that... Because they would have had a look at that and like they measured it at the time and it was like the structure would have been like 2 miles wide. That's humongous. Like that's an enormous structure for to be an intelligently made structure.
Yeah, but we don't know what their technological capabilities were. And maybe that's why it lasted so long is because it was so fucking huge.
It was just so grandiose that and that's the only one they did. They spent all their time during the nuclear holocaust carving out this head.
Well, at least two scientists, the Vincent DiPietro and Gregory Molinar, like those two guys also put together a thing where they have right next to it, which has now been dubbed like the D&M pyramids. So they have a bunch of little structures over on the side, which could very well be geological features, but they say that they very much resemble pyramids.
And it's in the same region as the face?
Yeah. They're like, you know, right next door, like from the face.
And then people say, judging by like they look like, because the size of the triangles is not that big, people deduce. So they say it might be a capstone of a pyramid that has been buried on Mars through sandstorms and whatnot. Because when the stories go back to like when they found the Sphinx, it was buried up to the neck in sand and they had to dig it out because it had been filled in by the desert. So that's where the theory goes on that, is these pyramids kind of resemble like the formation of Giza. And the reason they look small compared to the face is because it's just actual capstone is what people claim.
Well, going back to the face, I mean, we now have higher resolutions of that mountain and it no longer
looks like a face.
Oh, he froze.
Oh, we lost.
I mean,
we lost you for a second.
I thought you were pausing.
It doesn't look like a face anymore.
I thought you were pausing for dramatic effect there.
Yeah,
like a really long pause.
Okay, well, here's the original face from the 76 Viking orbiter.
Yeah, you see it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right?
We got some sexy ladies below it, too. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Right there. It looks like
probably Martians.
Your search right there.
Man, what's going on with your ads there, Zell?
It gives us whatever I've been searching. I've been searching.
Russian brides? Are there a lot of horny singles in your area, Zell, by any chance?
Man, Russian wife finder?
This one's minus 65% off. Gotta take it.
Do you have an updated photo now of a newer photo of the face?
I don't, but I'll get one right now.
I think the most recent one's 2002, much higher resolution. They purposely went back and scanned over the area because of how popular the Mars face is, and pulling up the HD photos, not so much a face anymore. You can see that things have filled in. There's not a lot left to the imagination. It's a mountaintop, but that doesn't take away from the excitement of like the potential for pyramid tops. And I was like to think like, imagine we go there and dig up three pyramids like here on Earth.
Oh man, that'd be crazy.
So here's
wild.
Here is a caption of three different versions of the picture. So version 176, in this one, from this angle, you can kind of see the face. It's not as shadowy. And then in 88 again, it looks more like a rock. And then 2001.
Looks like a loaf of bread.
It looks way different from 98. From 98 to 2001, it doesn't even look like the same thing.
I think we come to the conclusion that ancient Martians worshipped Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Like a shell, you mean? Does it look like a shell?
Like the four grand deities of Ninja Turtles. Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, Michelangelo.
So, I don't know, the face on Mars, to me, doesn't, unless, you know what, never straight answer. NASA. Giving us,
yeah, goddamn NASA, never straight answer.
They gave us the one. God. They realized they fucked up. This is when they realized that there was actually a civilization there, and this is when the whole thing started. So it's all been disinformation campaigns since 76 to change people's perception on what's on Mars.
Yeah, except NASA. Yeah, I guess NASA must have really fucked up when they were the first ones to print something. They said, "Hey, it looks like a face," and then everybody totally jumped on that.
Idiots.
Well, there was an astronaut.
NASA really screwed themselves over.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. And he basically says he's talking about NASA. And I'm sure Zella, quick search, you could figure out who he is. And he was talking about Mars and saying that like NASA straight up like lying and like misleading, giving out misleading data. And they've misplaced so much of the film that they haven't released to the public of these like images of Mars and even the moon. I can't remember the scientist. I can't remember the astronaut's name now, but mm-hmm. I remember earlier this week when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, that's interesting. You have an ex astronaut being like, I was there. They don't give you all the photos. They pick and choose what they show, and they should just show everything.
There is people who have come forward and said they were like a photo editor and they were told to not necessarily get rid of you like an actual craft, but something that might have been mistaken for a craft. They would black it out just for so no one would even think about it. It might not have been a craft, but in the picture, it could have been like an artifact of the picture or whatever looked like a UFO in the picture or something. And they were told to just, you know, wash it out. So I don't doubt when, you know, when you're putting out photos to the public, editing is a thing. And
yeah, it's true.
Should they
do
it?
You go on our website, look at our photos, all edited.
Got airbrushed, got rid of the bags under the eye.
I think Andrew's the only one unedited.
Yeah, Andrew just said
natural beauty.
But
no amount of editing can fix it.
So the face,
Not so much. I've basically been caught, but still, I mean, the pyramids.
Let's theorize on the pyramids. Let's just say we did come from Mars, and that's why, like, pyramid building on the planet seems so out of place, because, like, well, no one's ever really built pyramids since this one time. So
maybe do you think if it's pyramids exactly the same as the ones we have here,
that would be nuts. Like the same.
And they're, I think 100% they're hide knowledge for you to discover in the pyramids, like the building, the base, the measurements, everything's, it's like all information contained is you can find out from studying the pyramids.
But like, here's a stupid question, but like you can see our pyramids from space, right?
I'm sure you could, yeah.
From like Google Maps, you can.
So why can't we see anything like that on other planets? Like if we could see images somewhat close to that, then you know what I mean? It would lead me to think, yeah, there's a possibility, I mean, but we don't see anything.
You can
like
see
that.
Them from space with like, you know, a telescope. It's not like.
Well, yeah, and I know, but not, do we not have the ability to look at the other planets from space?
What they theorize is that the pyramids on Mars are buried in sand now, almost to the top.
Yeah, you do have, like, on Mars, there are now, like, they have identified, like, it has a very volatile, you know, weather system, I guess you could call it. But it's like, they'll have sandstorms on there that last for, like, days. You know, you'll have sandstorms for weeks or something like that. But, you know, they can move a whole bunch of sand all over the place. And it's like, if there was stuff in some areas, yeah, it could very well be covered with dust and rocks and things like that, especially if it's a civilization that has been extinct now for however many years. I mean, the estimates of like how long our civilization, like if humans were to disappear tomorrow and whatever, and then trying to figure out like how long our stuff would last, it's like most of the buildings that we have, like even our, well, just the way that we build things and like the materials that we use now, like stuff would be gone within a couple hundred years, you know, but, you know, but that's to be like, you know, if you were just in places where you just have to worry about like natural overgrowth and things like that. I mean, you look at the jungles of, you know, the Yucatan Peninsula, where just like eating Aztec pyramids and things like that, you can't see any of it. But if you had a place that's like Mars, where there's, you know, tons of sand and dust being moved by these gigantic storm systems, then it's like it could cover anything.
Now here's one of the aerial shots of a pyramidic looking mound.
Pyramidal.
Buddy, look at that.
Yeah, that looks like a fucking pyramid. That's pretty cool.
I mean, the thing for me is the line up the spine of the pyramid is not straight.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's just not covered in a whole shitload of sand, right?
Yeah.
And that could be, I mean, it could be, I mean, this is an aerial photo with some light, so it could be a little mix of, I'll give the benefit of the doubt, it could be some like shadow and lighting trickery you're seeing as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is, there is more, people claim more, but I don't know if these are real pictures or not.
I'm not even sure the one you showed me is real, to be honest. All these fake.
I came across this one. This was being passed around Facebook and stuff. I don't know. Zell could probably pull it up. It got posted on Facebook and stuff where it's like, oh, secret footage that NASA doesn't want you to see. And it's all this like handy cam footage of like what they say is like this people on Mars and astronauts on Mars, but it's just really, really bad. Like some of it's like ripped straight from footage from like Mars orbiters or Mars landers. And then some of it's just like pictures of astronauts. They're like, this is the footage of actual astronauts on Mars. And you're like, no, it's not. That's just a picture, a grainy picture that you just kind of de-rezzed.
Yeah, this is called, this is from something called Project Red Sun, they call it. And it was that we actually did go to Mars in 77, and then NASA covered it up. So the video on Facebook, it's pretty long, so I'm going to skim through here until I can find something that looks like Mars. So they have pictures of the Earth, and then it switches to picture of an overhead of what kind of looks like Mars. So that this is supposedly
it's like Andrew's head.
Andrew's head.
It does. He's got nice and shaved there.
Pardon?
So it's claimed to be shot from the spacecraft, from the orbiter, as the astronauts are orbiting Mars. But it's really poor quality.
I'll shoot one of those shots tomorrow night when I see Andrew. What do you mean sitting behind him at the Canucks game?
Listen, I'm getting roasted here by other guys with receding hairlines. I don't understand it. I'm the only guy that's fucking just given in and shaved it.
I shaved it for a while.
My head gets cold when I shave. So and then the video gets better though. So now when you get to this video, now they have what looks like someone just took the moon shots and then just colored the background red.
Not even moon shots. Yeah. Like those aren't even it's sort of like from the set of some shitty movie.
Yeah, but they also train astronauts.
That looks like Matt Damon.
That's Tatooine right
it's
there.
It's like
man.
Promo work. It's like promo shots for fucking the Martian.
This is horrible.
Anyways, that's that's Project Red Sun. Supposedly that astronauts were sent there and that was the start of the whole secret space program. They actually found the colonies on Mars and that led to this.
How come none of the spacesuits are the same?
I don't know,
Dan. You asked too many goddamn questions.
I know, man. NASA hates me. NASA hates him.
The thing for me is I'm like, it just doesn't make sense that we would have Mars already colonized and then keep like what's the purpose of keeping that a secret?
Yeah, I'm not the plenty of people will be like, well, they just don't want you to know about it. It's super secret, da da da. But it's like, well, even then, okay. So now I have to say, like, it's just conflicting because it's like, okay, if you're a hardcore conspiracy theorist, you believe that we didn't actually go to the moon, but we talked so much mad shit about going to the moon. So why would NASA then say we've never been to Mars, like actually go to Mars and then not talk mad shit about going to Mars?
I don't know.
Because we found something we can't talk about there.
Maybe we did.
I don't think there's anything on Mars right now for humans colonies. I don't believe that, but I do think it'd be interesting to get to Mars and potential for like megalithic structures under the sand.
Hell yeah, I'd be like, wicked.
I'm totally open to those ideas that there was a civilization there and maybe they came here at some point. I mean, you have all these carvings of like ancient humans of, you know, carving spaceships and shit like that. Maybe that's just stories of, you know, the refugees from Mars, a dying planet, coming here.
Just the memory passed down.
When you think about it, we have like all the talks of giants and stuff like that. And that could be just like humans from Mars.
But humans, here's the thing. If you came from Mars and say you're 6 feet tall on Mars, you land on Earth and then you can't stand up because the gravity is crushing you.
You'd have like
at least
no
for
muscle
the first
mass.
Bit, like for the first bit.
Like not so much for giants and shit like that.
It would suck forever. Like you'd be constantly in joint pain. Like it would really suck.
Maybe if you're that smart, maybe.
Oh, but imagine a reversal sending us to Mars.
Super science.
Yeah. Just like John Carter.
John Carter.
Yeah.
No, but basically. Like, you know what I mean? Like
documentary,
not,
John
not
Carter.
Thinking about giants and shit like that, but like it kind of makes sense as far as like that massive like technological advances we made, right? Like we're all of a sudden we evolved into who we are now.
So went from apes to intelligent being.
Exactly. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of a cool theory to think about, right?
Well, that leap from like stone smash and ape to intelligent human being is people have run with that theory in so many different ways. Like you got the stoned ape theory and like all these other theories of how we became intelligent.
From what, like I read Sapiens and they basically, he kind of theorized that it was just because we evolved, like we evolved when we ate meat basically. And how to, when, you know, when we started to have to think of different ways, how to hunt it and how to cook it. Right.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So there's like so many different ways, but no one, maybe the way is Martian intervention, ancient aliens.
Totally.
This is all ancient aliens here. The Martians are the aliens. Came here, descended from heaven. started mating. Somehow they could mate with human females.
Somehow.
Yeah. made demigods, took over regions of the planet, continued on their warfare as the Anunnaki.
Hold on. I don't like the mating, but if they're that skilled, who's to say that they're like, okay, well, there's these semi intelligent life here. Let's splice some of our DNA into like embryos. Like, so they're giving injections to like pregnant females, so their babies will have some of the genes that they have. I'm way more for like genetic splicing than I am for like Dan's Martian orgy.
What's wrong with the Martian orgy?
I never thought you'd hear those words come out of my mouth.
Dan's Martian orgy.
It sounds like something I'd be into, but no, I think more that if they were that technologically,
let it stew for a while, and then you'll come around.
I'll sleep on it. Hopefully, in my dreams, I get picked up and sent to Mars for some basic training, and then I'll get back to you.
Too old.
Yeah, you're too old, bud.
Too old, man. Can't serve. You're over 9.
It's time travel now. It's time travel.
They had to pick one. They'd pick the number one.
But that's a.
What else?
I think that's pretty much it for the mysteries. I mean, you could go forever about Mars itself. Like, you get into all the scientific data and everything that we do know, but that's for a podcast a lot smarter than us.
Yeah, you can have somebody else go check the math.
Yeah, no, it's just
we're big picture guys.
Mars is cool because really it's in the habitable zone of our solar system, and I think we do find life on Mars. Whether it just be microbial or even like some type of like insect resembling stuff that's like that lives in the planet away from like the harmful radiation. I do not doubt that. I don't think so.
Even if they find oil on Mars.
Oh, dude, if you find oil on Mars, we're colonizing right now.
We're there.
We are there.
That means their life was abundant at the time, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, because they have water on Mars. Right, frozen water at least, and then what they think sometimes is like they call it like the sweating on Mars, where shows like actual wet streaks develop on some hillsides, not necessarily on the surface, but maybe below a little bit, and so they think there might be running water underneath the surface. Can't tell yet, but where there's running water, good chance as life as we know it, right, could develop.
Life finds a way.
We very literally only scratched the surface of Mars with the Mars landers and orbiters and the rovers. Like, we've only, we put in just the tip.
Yeah, because there's been 39 missions to Mars, okay? 39. Not necessarily all rovers and orbiters, but, like, at least got either used Mars as a slingshot for, like, space, like, for probes and stuff. Only 16 have actually made it to completed their mission. So, like, how much of the actual surface areas have the rovers explored? Like, fucking none. And they're not like they're taking samples every mile, analyzing, sending it back, right? They're not, those rovers didn't really do that. They were just taking pictures, videos, and like recording temperature and that kind of stuff. Weather, pretty much. So until we start like digging and have like some super advanced brain's fucking wigging out. This is what we have to deal with.
You said too much. They're shutting you down.
Yeah, said too much. But yeah, no, Mars is it's a really cool place. I'm gonna sign up.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, do I want to be the first person to go live there? No, but
what if Mars tourism? Sorry,
hold on. Let's get into some space news. Let's talk about living on Mars.
Space news.
I'll play the music. Now you got it. Now you got it. Got to give us space news.
Space news.
Hey, living on Mars would suck. One, you have to live underground. 100%. Because you're going to get bombarded by radiation.
No, you get
that. So that means you're like.
Shelters. Insulated shelter.
Yeah, but the first people on Mars are not going to be able to, they're going to have to build underground or live in some like huge steel. Like you're not going to see the outside.
Oh, definitely not. But
you're not going to be able to have windows.
Yeah, but you're going to land. You're going to land on Mars and you're going to need to get shelter right away. So they're going to have like a pre-assembled building or something that they're going to be able to set up in like 4 hours to at least start there.
Or we're going to have robots do it.
Or, yeah, and maybe, yeah, robots go 3D print some buildings or something.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the ideas that I think one company was trying to pitch is that you'd send these little kind of like one-wheeled like Omnibots there, basically, and they're just like giant 3D printers on wheels, and they all just kind of go around. They would be printing out not necessarily would they print out the prefabricated living units, like, you know, basically like a space station on Mars. They would basically assemble like large over shelters. Like they would take the regolith, which is the name for like the Martian rock, and then they would assemble just like big domes or, you know, big shelters, because it would be able to block most of the radiation and it would block out a lot of the you know, sandstorms, things like that. So then the astronauts would have a place to kind of just, they could just go straight inside of those, and then they could assemble the shelters inside there. So that's one way.
The first generation of Martians are going to be the stuff of legends, like Hercules and shit, man. They're going to be so strong.
For how long, though?
So high.
For how long?
Well, I know because I'm not 100% sure, because like the people who first get there is going to be really strange. And then, but yeah, like Zell says, for how long? Because once their muscles start atrophying and stuff, like adapting to that, there's no more resistance. It just won't. I mean, if they work out, yeah, for a while, but with the people born on Mars will be like,
you're going to have like people training Vegeta style in pressure chambers.
Badass hyperbolic chamber.
100 G's.
The other thing I was thinking of is, think about the first babies, like what kind of effects is like that lack of gravity have on like a developing brain?
No idea.
Yeah, that's something I think we're going to be getting into later. We have to talk about that.
They'll start with mice and stuff, right?
But I'm thinking even here, like think about like Andrew, your friend of a friend that you know. Does it get busier on a full moon?
Oh, every time, without a doubt.
So people say that happens because the lunar pole is pulling more water than normal into your brain and making it go a little crazy. Now imagine there's no gravity, right? We're gonna have, that's why all these horror movies, man. Ghosts of Mars.
This is the best space thing.
Ghosts of Mars, I'm telling you.
So it's all because of the low G.
Crazy Mars. Babies.
It's all because of the low G.
Crazy babies.
I know,
iced tea. Mars.
Iced tea. It is iced tea.
All right. I get psychopaths.
But anyways, what else we got for space news?
Some devastating news for our plan to go to the moon for 2024. A new bill has been introduced that wants more emphasis on Mars than the moon. So it would push back human exploration to the moon from 2024 to 2028 with a 2033 Mars trip, which is now. So, you know what? This is going to make me believe in the flat earth. They keep pushing, going back to the moon. They keep pushing it. Maybe there's a reason.
Because the moon sucks.
Hopefully that guy will give you the secret.
We need more people to fight the insectoids and reptoids on Mars. It's more important.
Yeah, I don't know. They're always promising shit.
Do you have any other space news?
Let's talk about Space Force. Let's just talk about Space Force real quick.
Oh, yeah, the logo. Yeah.
So everyone keeps saying that Space Force stole the Star Trek logo.
Because they did.
It's the exact same logo.
That's 100%.
Oh, dude, it's very similar, but at the same time, in the defense, that logo in some fashion has been used since like 1942 or something.
Yeah, in Star Trek.
No, Star Trek came out in 66. So they had three versions of this. It wasn't called United States Space Force. It was called Air Force Space Command before. So they kind of had to, so there's been three iterations of the logo. So some people are defending the Air Force.
I like it.
It's fucking dope. It's fucking dope. But they say, no, Starfleet stole it originally from the Air Force.
We stole it back.
And then they stole it back.
We're taking it back.
That Space I like Force.
It's a badass logo, man. It's fucking I don't care.
Dope. I would join up. If I'm in the United States, I'm joining Space Force.
Yeah. Space Force. Space
How
Marines.
Boring is Space the Imperium Force right now, though?
Yeah.
That's just an office gig right now on Earth.
Yep.
100%. Walking around in camel fatigues,
It's a bunch of guys with telescopes just like going out.
Hanging around the water cooler.
Yeah.
Just checking out Google.
You know what I saw last night? Just shooting star. Pretty cool, eh? Space Force.
Space Force.
Anything else?
That's all I had for space news. Talked a lot about space today.
All right, fire up the Randomatron. I got to put it down for fan submission.
Fan submission. Here we go. Fix the printer.
Did you fix it, though? Because it's really long.
That baby's purring.
All right. This is from... Do you see I can use his name? Again, if you're going to send us a story, right at the outset, let me know if you want your name read or not. To be safe, if you don't say it, I'm not going to read your name. But you know who this is if I read this. Hey, guys. I've sent my ex-girlfriend and mother of my kids' story to you guys before and was so pumped when you guys read it. She still hasn't forgiven me, but I haven't given up just... Ooh, that's rough.
Whoops.
I was about to when a few nights ago, my father visited me in my dream. Like I told you guys last time, I never believed in ghosts or spirits or an afterlife, but now that might have changed. Normally, I chalk it up to just being a dream, but I'm a pretty lucid dreamer, and not being in control of my dream isn't something I'm used to. It also felt different than any other dream I've had in my life. He died when I was 17, and I came home from work and found him in the yard. He had an aortic, that's pronounced aortic, Braden, fucking asshole. Thanks for the spelled it out, disease. And I found his body when I got home from work. Anyways, in the dream, we were sitting on the porch, smoking a bowl like we used to. And he told me that despite making decisions that lost me my fiance, he was proud of how much I've bettered myself and improved. And that he was proud of me for finally getting my license and getting enrolled in college. He told me my kids were everything he hoped for in grandchildren and that I had a beautiful, kind girl. And that I had to do everything to make it up to her and to give her space. And in time, she will come back to me. He hugged me and told me he's gotten to know Elisa's aunt, Lisa, who passed away. And to tell her that she's proud of the mother she became. He told me he wished he could have been a better husband and father to my mom and to us. And that despite his actions, he loved her and regretted ever hurting her and to use his actions to become the best man I could be. When I woke up, I felt stoned until about an hour into my shift at work, despite not having smoked weed for 2 days. Ghosts get the best green, apparently. Anyways, thanks for making such a great podcast. Re-listening to episodes on my way to work and counseling appointments has been one of those things keeping me strong. Hoping now that my Christmas passed, I can afford to join the Patreon. Love you guys, especially Braden and Andrew. Mr. Conspiracy is the heart and soul of the podcast. By far the smartest of all of you. Just kidding. He's an idiot. Thanks. I hope he didn't get separated because we read that story.
Whoops.
Anyway.
Well, whoever his ex-fiance is, she's listening. Take him back. Sounds like a beauty.
Yeah, sounds like a great guy.
Do it for the boys.
Yeah. Do it for the boys.
Come on.
Unless you're not a fan, but do it anyways.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
All right. You want to...
Braden's frozen.
I was going to say early on that maybe he's... I love that. Tell internet, man.
Yeah, I love that hardwired internet that was promised to you, eh?
Yeah, gotta love that high speed business. Terrible.
Buddy, this has been better. This has been better than your broadcasting from home, so it's pretty good.
No, he's been good the last few weeks because he got hardwired.
Oh, hardwired.
I got hardwired now, hardwired. Baby. Anything else? Who's a theorite of the week?
I think Dan had a theorite of the week, didn't you, Dan?
Yep. Our theorite of the week is Mr. William Jenkins. William Jenkins, thank you for keeping us updated on all the goings on from UFOholic and Alien Nation.
I love those articles.
Those are great.
Regardless of
great
articles. Of
quality
on articles.
Regardless of source, I read them all. They're just fun.
I like that the headlines are always really fun.
Yeah.
Always really fun to read.
We got some new Patreon supporters. If you feel like supporting your boys, get on our Patreon. We got almost 70 hours of bonus content on there now, actually.
Listen, this is serious. Now, if you really do enjoy the show, please join Patreon because me and Braden just blew the entire month's budget on Canucks tickets. And Zell and Dan were not
also
very happy.
I blew the budget on getting all those Russian bots to vote me number one in the polls.
Yeah. Still glowing from ranked number one theorist.
Converted all our Patreon money into rubles.
New Patreon supporters. Anthony Perch.
I'm in hiding because I haven't paid my bill yet.
I'm going to start with a hand. Or start with a finger. Take a hand. Coming for you. Anthony Perch. Everaday. Red Cliff CFL. No, sorry. Red Woods CFL. Nathan Rosenberg. Stevie Mack. Ryan Nixon. T. Bills. Tim Fox. Jara Stanlake. Lucas. Jenna. Stephen Woodall. And I don't. Art by Kasani. Stuart Whiterod. Christopher Ramos, and I think that leads us back to our last recording. So thank you very much for supporting the show. We appreciate it. Anything else? I got no band of the week, so I'm just going to play our music on the way out this time.
All right. Well, as we said, if you want to keep going, we keep talking, but for Patreon only. So if you want to listen to what goes on after hours, head over to our Patreon. And as we always say at the end of those things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.